Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Ways of Creating Access Points into Music Making and features Dr. Carol Ann Blank in an interview with Dr. Petra Kern. Hello, I'm Dr. Petra Kern, the editor of the Imagine magazine. Welcome to Dr. Carol Ann Blank. Thank you for joining me today on this Imagine podcast. As music therapists, Carol Ann, we sometimes have to think outside the box to create successful music experiences for children of all ability levels. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we would like to find out how you make music accessible to young learners, what kind of adaptation you make or assistance you give, and in which ways this support transforms the participation engagement of your clients. Here are 10 questions for you, Carol Ann. I would like to start out, where do you work those days and what is your role?
Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you and with the Imagine audience. I am a full-time postdoc at Drexel University, and it's been a really amazing process there, being a research fellow, learning research processes from the inside out, and I have the opportunity to learn and explore myself as a researcher and what projects I would like to be in charge of in the future. I still work for Music Together as the manager of special needs services, and I have my own private practice. And so those are the things that I do.
That sounds like a busy work life to me, Carol Ann.
Yes, it is. It is.
So getting into this year's topic, I wanted to ask you what everyday situations come to your mind when you hear about adaptive music making in early childhood settings.
So the everyday situations that strike me most are the ways that we create access points into music making for groups of families with young children who attend a class together, a community-based class, or families that I see with children with disabilities that don't necessarily know how to be musical themselves. The parent or the child know how to be musical themselves. So I'm really looking toward inviting and making people comfortable in music making. And that means sometimes I take a really active role in it. And sometimes I can be really directive. Here's an instrument, you shake it. And here's another instrument. When you're done shaking that one, then you can play with this one. And sometimes it's much more relaxed, and we're looking just to explore the sound together. So I love making music with kids anywhere they are. I love making music with families anywhere they are. And I love being able to help them to understand that music making can happen not just with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, this brings me to my next question, Carol Ann, which is the inclusion thought you actually were talking about right now. So in what way can adaptive music making support access and the sense of belonging for the young children to be part of a music making group and so forth?
When we talk about adaptive music making, it really means that whatever comfortability level or whatever way a child represents their delight and their engagement in music, that's considered a viable, appropriate expression of music. I don't consider a child's ability to match pitch or match rhythm or repeat a phrase the only way that children can represent music making. I'm looking for enjoyment, and I'm looking for any kind of engagement. And when I see engagement from the child, whether it's a stereotypical move or a gesture in their trunk or rocking side to side or walking close to the beat, I want to see how I can shape that into a music making response. They're not just running. Maybe they're identifying the microbeat. Maybe I modify my own tempo or my own singing to represent or to amplify their own physical motor responses. A lot of times that turns into a recognition on the part of the child that the music and they are connected. And it turns into a recognition on the part of the parent that that their child can do things that are musical without sitting at the piano and playing something that's musical. So that's expanding parents or expanding teachers' awareness of what musicality is and how children can represent music. That's one of the biggest gifts, I think, that we give the adults that that love and work with the children that we serve.
Thinking about how do you make instruments accessible to children? Do you have any tips?
Right. So one of the things that I love to do is to look for anything in the house that you can shake. Look for anything in the house that you can tap. Look for anything in the house that you can rub together. It's not necessarily what traditionally looks like an instrument. Instruments are all the things. They're all over, especially when we were doing tele and our families didn't necessarily have music at home. Almost everybody had a coffee can. Okay, guess what? Our coffee can is now a drum. Almost everybody had a kitchen towel. So the kitchen towels became our scarves. And I have to tell you, laundry baskets make fantastic everythings. They make fantastic drums. They make fantastic things to slide. When we look for music everywhere, when we look for sound everywhere, the possibilities for what we have are endless.
Absolutely endless. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right.
So we can actually go from low tech, but also to high tech, what right. Many of the children with a diagnosis have, assistive technology for communication and so forth. So how do you make them meaningful in your music therapy sessions?
So I can low tech it and I can high tech it. I have small tap buttons that I've recorded that you can quickly change the recording on. And I've used them for certain songs that I would sing the missing word and then I would leave the word out and they would tap the word at the time. That's fun. But I've also used my iPad. There are a couple of really great apps. Keezy is one of them. I've used GarageBand because when the guitar sounds on GarageBand, it vibrates nicely. Sometimes the actual vibration of a guitar is too much, so the digital is a little bit more less overwhelming.
So, is there any non-standard music notation? Any good options for young children to use when they're gonna explore music making?
I have these pieces of laminated paper that were created for a program that I use called Rhythm Kids. And it's got the crescendo and the decrescendo on them. And it's so forte, loud. It's got staccato that's just dots all over the page. It's got legato, which is swoops all over the page. And so we use these, and I've used them successfully for 3 to 6 year olds. And then because they can really sort of physically embody what the sound is, what the page represents. And they're getting a little Italian, they're getting along the way, but they also know that forte means loud. And staccato is really fun to move to, and legato is really fun to move to. And we use those.
Yes. And how do you adapt songwriting for young children? I mean, they're all great improvisers and have always ideas and many can rhyme and come up with their own ideas. But how do you structure it so that it becomes songwriting activity for young children?
So I've actually done this and it's super, super fun. For the littles, we don't necessarily have, when they aren't able to make their choices or articulate their choices verbally yet, I may ask the parent, if we're doing a song, you know, about, you know, Mary wore a red dress, well, what color is Jacob wearing today? He's got a what color shirt on? And then we sing to his shirt. So that's very early songwriting, because it's directed to the child and it's about the child. When a child can indicate a choice, and that can happen at a variety of ages, and it doesn't have to be a verbal indication, it could be a gesture or a pictorial choice, then I'll offer choices, and then we can either sing to their voiced choice or their picture, you know, given a selection of pictures, which animal or vehicle or something that I leave out of the song, and then they can fill in the blank. So fill in the blank is huge.
So Carol Ann, we talked before in our pre-conversations about music making in different environments, and saying, you know, that we don't need to be always in our music room. Could you summarize this for our listeners for a second?
So I never have a music room because I travel to people's homes. So I'm making music with them in their homes. And that can be in the living room. That can be in their therapy space. I worked with a family who installed a swing set in their house, and their child swung and there was a trampoline. And so we're using the child's comfortable environment for sensory input as part of music making. And sometimes we're sitting on the ground or on a mat to do the work, but sometimes the work has to be done while jumping. So we're using what's in the family home to create the music making environment. And that's, I think for these families, it may not be for everybody, but for these families, it's the way to make everybody comfortable. Parents know, oh, music doesn't have to happen outside the house. Music can happen right here. And when I leave, you know, they have these resources. These resources can then stay and support the parents as they are thinking of interesting ways to include music making in their family life.
That makes perfect sense. And this interview is just moving quickly. We're coming already to question number 9 and almost to the end. So what is your top advice for adaptive music making in early childhood settings for our listeners?
Don't expect children to sit or not play if you give them something fun. If you give them something that they're supposed to shake, don't ask them to not shake it.
Right.
Be okay with them actually shaking the eggs or tapping the sticks while the rest of them are being handed out. If you're waiting for silence to start the music making, you've missed it. It didn't happen. It's not gonna happen. I think it's really important, because if we expect, see, a lot of us were raised with, we must start music from silence, and music then must emerge out of silence. Music is organized sound. The sound is already happening. What we have to do as music therapists is create the framework for the sound to make sense, and for the sound to be predictable, for the sound to help a child self-regulate, to do all those things, to develop those executive functioning skills of predictability and resisting the urge. So the song is happening as soon as you hand out that first pair of sticks. Go with it. Be okay with that and utilize that, because then you're not wasting intervention time. You must continue to use that time so that every moment counts.
Listeners would see me nodding here all the time when talking to Carolyn. I am with you. So finally, let's wrap up this interview with resources you recommend for adaptive music making. And we will put them into the podcast as a list so that everyone can find them.
Resources to learn for clinicians or teachers or parents. EdWeb has their music and early learning community. It's a free website. You just register an account and you can watch as many webinars there as you like. I've done a few things there. They're jingle sticks with ribbons on them. And I don't know where I got them, but they're fantastic. They're jingle bells. They're attached to sticks. They're about 6 inches long. And there's like a whole rainbow of ribbons that tumble off them. They're the one other tool that if you find it, buy a lot of them. Quackers, they're jiggle sticks. There's a white stick with either a red or a yellow top. And when you shake the rubber top, it sounds like a duck.
Or
it
sounds, yes.
Right? I love those.
One.
It is the best. I love it.
Yes, so it gets a response from any child.
Yes.
And get, adult.
Yes, they don't last forever. So buy a bunch. And I love those. Another resource, sing-along storybooks. So any song, that any book that you can find that you can sing to. And those are my resources.
Wonderful. Pleasure to talk with you and reconnect with you. And I wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2023. Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2023.